Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We've been talking about brokenness and dependence on God. If you want to go faster than we're going, you're welcome to get the books. We've got three books that cover a lot of the material we're talking about. Obviously, on the radio, we can go into much greater detail, much greater depth, and answer specific questions that have come up. But check it out at wecanprepare.org under store, and you can get those, the whole series. That'll give you a much better handle. We all need to both hear and read what we're learning. One reinforces the other, and most of us are better at learning one way than the other. So I encourage you to do that. And thanks to all those who have been getting in touch with me about the series, that it's helping. That's always great to hear. We know that the things that we're speaking of are different, and learning things that are different is hard. And this is one of the reasons we're going to delve and spend some time with brokenness and dependence on God. Because if we refuse to recognize that God is interrupting our lives, interjecting himself into our own way of doing things, we will insist on continuing to do things our own way. We will continue to live out of the strength of our own flesh, our own self-life. That's the only part of your life that God hates. It's your self-life, your flesh. Because it's your flesh that is keeping you from receiving unconditionally what God is giving unconditionally. Your flesh, your self-life, your own way of doing things is fighting with God. And he'll not allow that. It's also keeping you in bondage, and he won't allow that either. It's always hard to come up with new ways or effective ways of explaining flesh. Unfortunately, flesh is used or translated from two different concepts in the Bible, and so many people have used that and not pursued research and understanding on their own. So there's a real confusion between the flesh of the self-life and the flesh of the body. And we've confused because there are negative connotations to flesh of the self-life, many have transposed that God has negative views of your body, your flesh. So we want to distinguish between the two. God gave you your body. He loves it. He expects you to take care of it and enjoy it and be grateful for it. Your body is not your flesh. They're two different words. We're not going to get into dissecting the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. But there are two different things. Your self-life is your soul getting its life on its own, by itself. Your body is merely your body. It has no intrinsic, it's not opposed to God. It follows along. When we talk about sins of the flesh, we're talking about the still going back to the soul, your soul, trying to get your needs met through the body. Whether it's through sex or anger or, you know, lust or greed or any of those concepts that we usually relate to the flesh, sins of the flesh. But those are all, shall we say, what's to be expected when we are relying on our flesh, when we are letting our flesh run around and do what it wants in our life, the body is going to follow along. And the body is vulnerable. This is why so often those who have a problem in their body, an addiction, for instance, or can't discipline themselves or whatever, very often it has nothing to do with their body. It has to do with their soul being out of control of God and trying to control things itself. We all have an addictive personality because we all want to control ourselves. We don't want to let God control us. We say we do, but we are, that's another example of our flesh trying to maintain control. We want to remember that there's nothing that God is doing in our lives that we have not already agreed to. So part of that is getting the idea, following Him, to be focusing on what He wants us to focus on. So there'll be times when we'll want to deal with something in our lives, and He won't want to, because He's got other plans. So when we're talking about brokenness, very often we, and this is odd that brokenness, whenever I teach on this or speak on this, it's very popular. There are people that don't want anything to do with brokenness. It's all about being strong. And others that embrace brokenness to such an extent that they want to live there. Both have misconceptions of what brokenness is. Brokenness is something God does. The most we can do is recognize it when it's happening and let Him do it. It eases the pain. Doesn't mean there's not going to be pain. It just eases it. So the purpose of the breaking process is to make us able to receive His life in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. As long as we're relying on our own strength of our soul, our self-strength, we continue to build flesh, whether we're a Christian or not. That flesh separates our soul from God and refills any area, re-strengthens the hindrances between our soul and our spirit. When We have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil here on this earth, during this time here, you and I. We have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And by world, it's not earth, it's world system. When Jesus was here, he conquered two of those enemies: the devil and the world system. So because we are now in him, we too have conquered those two enemies and are now in the process of learning to practically apply that being a winner in our lives. We have to learn how to win. You have to learn to live like a winner in those areas. And that's what we're doing. It's we're not gaining victory. It's we're walking, learning to walk in victory. But because Jesus' relationship with his Father was so dependent that he, from the very beginning, he knew how to go to his Father to get his needs met. He never developed any flesh. He never relied on his own strength. I like to say that for those who have the red letter version of the scriptures that has Jesus' words in red, I like to say that if that really reflected Jesus' words, there'd be no letters in red. There'd be no words in red. Because he only spoke what his Father spoke. He only said what his Father said. Not because he wasn't there, but because he was one with the Father. Not because he was just such a puppet. He couldn't think for himself. But he thought his Father's thoughts. His mind was one with his Father. His will was one with the Father. His emotions were one with the Father. They were one, are one. You and I are one. So his needs were always met. He never relied on the strength of his own mind, his own will, his own emotions to accomplish what God sent him to do, or even just to fulfill his own needs. He never did that. So he never developed flesh. Because he never developed flesh, he didn't conquer flesh. He left that for us to do. So for you and I, though we are learning to walk in victory over the world system and learning to walk in victory over the devil, we are still in the process of gaining victory over the flesh. That is our battlefield. Now, we only do it by depending on the Father, just the same way Jesus did. By not relying on our own strength of soul, mind, will, and emotions, but relying on him. So, he's given us the pattern of how to win, how to gain victory over the flesh. What's interesting is we don't gain victory over the flesh out of our own strength, because that would be flesh, but by depending on God, by depending on him and receiving his life to meet our needs. When your needs in your soul are met, remember they're already met in your spirit, when your soulical needs are met, that's when you're at rest. Regardless of the outward circumstances, you could be dealing with the crisis, you could be on vacation, you could be doing math, you could be discovering a cure for AIDS, you could be playing with your kids, you could be arguing with someone, but you would be at rest. Because all your needs are met. Think of the diversity of circumstances we have of the illustrations of Jesus' life. He went from blessing the little children, calming the storm, to driving out the money changers in the temple. But he was always at rest. So part of our change of mind is to correlate inactivity with rest. That if we're at rest, if we're fully dependent on God, if we're in the right place at the right time, then nothing bad will be happening. Then everything will be calm. That's not what God says. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. It's the response that shows whether we're functioning out of our own strength or not. This is where we find out, going through this process, learning to gain victory over our flesh, is where we find out how personal God is and how much he wants to make himself known to us personally. Whatever circumstance you're in, he wants to not only reveal himself, but fill you. We can taste and see that the Lord is good. That gives us a hunger and a thirst. Not to understand more, but to contain more. There'll be times when we don't understand, when we don't even ask, when we don't participate in the revealing that he makes himself known to us any old way he wants. These are all ways we are learning to give up control and gain victory over our flesh. We concentrate so much, we emphasize the need to let God reveal beliefs that we are having that are not true, that are not reflective of his character. Because those areas that don't reflect his character, that we believe that this is the way God does things, that's an area of flesh. Now, it started from a wound, because where we believe a lie is a wound. And we protect that wound, and we hide behind it, and we use that wound, the need to protect it, to manipulate others. So it's all tied together. And this is why we deal with three main subjects: getting healed, knowing God, and allowing God to expose our flesh so he can remove it. If you want to know God, you're going to have to get healed. And you're going to have to learn how to overcome the flesh. Likewise, if you want to get healed, you're going to have to learn how to overcome the flesh by depending on God and how to know him. They're all tied together. God doesn't do things the way we think he should. And he's not obligated at all by what you believe. He's going to do what's necessary. Because remember, in your spirit, you've already agreed to it. You're with him, working on your soul and your body to bring you into perfect alignment, to be able to receive everything he wants to give. And this is where the breaking process becomes so significant in our lives. It's when we realize that it both becomes breaking, and brokenness is not about becoming mournful or submissive. It's about our flesh being conquered by God. That hard shell, that breaking of the dam between our soul and our spirit, only he can do that. And we all think that we've gone through breaking, and we all have. But there comes a point in time when there's something going on out of the ordinary that we can't get a grip on. It most often occurs around a crisis situation. That's why a lot of people right now are going through a breaking process. But what they do when they feel out of control is they try to regain control, because they don't understand it could be part of the breaking process. There's no way of determining, using our own understanding, our own beliefs, our own interpretation. We have to ask God. This is why it's so important that we go to him with every situation. Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? And he tells us, just wait it out. Just hang in there. You're on the right track. Just wait it out. Or, I command this thing to be gone. Or, take action in this area. I have a better situation. I have a better job. I have a better boyfriend. I have a better situation for you. But you need to go and do this. We're not going to be able to interpret any given situation and draw a correct conclusion. Because the conclusion God wants us to draw, the action he wants us to take, is to depend on him. So the purpose of that breaking process is not just to break us and to tear us down, but recognizing that tearing down between our soul and spirit makes us then able to receive life. And remember, in your spirit, you now have all the eternal life you're ever going to get. Eternal life can't be quantified. You can't have a little. It's all or nothing. Eternal life cannot be divided, subdivided into, okay, every Christian gets a little bit. No, it's all. So we learn that continuing to live according to our own strengths and hiding our weaknesses, living after the flesh, prevents us from being able to receive the life, the healing, the person of God, the experience of his love that he intends for us to have now. We have so little comprehension of what that's like, but we can participate. We can walk in the victory over the devil. We can walk in the victory over the world system. And we can gain the the victory over our flesh. That's what we're here for, to rule and reign as co-inheritors, not lesser inheritors, not later inheritors, but co-inheritors. It's present tense. And joint heirs, not lesser heirs, not someday heirs, but present tense, right now, with everything God is and wants to do on this earth. The kingdom of God does not need to be built. It's entered. And we are learning to rule and reign in that kingdom. It's a whole new way of thinking. It's a whole new way of living and moving and having our being. But it gives us the joy and the rest and the satisfaction. Nothing else satisfies. So we remember that our flesh gets its needs met through two arenas, two avenues, inward resources and outward resources. Inwardly, flesh seeks to make us feel good about ourselves, or at least to control how we feel about ourselves. Outwardly, the flesh attempts to control others and our circumstances through a variety of means and methods in order to get its needs met. Like an iceberg, what we see of our flesh is often just the tip. We pretty much all see something about ourselves that we don't like, but that we can't control, we can't change. Very often it's flesh. Sometimes it's just part of our temperament that we're uncomfortable with. But your temperament is not broken, and God's not going to fix it. He gave you your temperament. He likes it. And if you don't, you're arguing with him. That's another belief we need to change, isn't it? So the breaking process proceeds on these two levels. The inward and the outward. To expose your flesh, my flesh, for what it is. When we've learned, when we've gone through the initial breaking process and learned the character and the quality of our flesh, it changes us. We can be changed by, in the natural, we grow up by time. We're changed by time in the natural. But in our soul, we are changed by God. This is why just being a Christian for a number of years doesn't make you closer to God. Doesn't know you mean you know him better, or that you've overcome your flesh more, or anything, that you can hear him better. Years has nothing to do with it. Time only affects your body. This is why we want to not be ignorant of what God is doing in our lives, so that if he is taking us through the breaking process, we embrace that and learn what he wants us to learn, so he can change what he wants to change. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. We'll be getting together again tomorrow at 7:30. Have a great day.